Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, do you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
Actually, it's Andy Pate, party of choice.
And that's me, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush here on Rush to Reason, along with Anil Mathai. And on the line right now, we have We have Selwyn Duke of the New American. Selwyn, how are you doing today?
Not bad, Andy. I was feeling a little irrational, so I just had to rush to reason, and here I am.
Are you feeling more reasonable now? I mean, is it affecting you? Is it changing you
Absolutely.
As a person?
But to get the full effect, it's going to take the 10, 13 minutes, however long the segment takes, and then I'm going to be just up to snuff.
Would it upset you to know that for exercise on this show today, we have decided to engage in pillaging as a way to work off the carbs?
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just channel my inner Viking, you know what I mean?
Yes!
To me. I haven't done that before, but I'm an open-minded guy, right?
All right! I knew Selwyn was down for the cause. I knew he was. Okay, Selwyn, is it true the Biden administration is trying to take our guns without a warrant?
Yes, absolutely. It seems that way because there was a case recently before the Supreme Court where that was at issue because this man's guns were seized without a warrant. And the Biden administration actually was agitating against this fellow, taking the opposite side from his case. So obviously that's their position.
Wait a minute. Who is this fellow? What was the case? What happened?
Okay, well, actually, you know, I thought we were going to talk about cancel culture, so I don't have that in front of me. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I have in front of me seizing the guns without a warrant. But you know what?
Oh, okay. We got some signals crossed.
That's okay. Hey, no problem. Really quick here. We'll finish that one up. Just tell me really quick. Is the Biden administration going to be able to get this through to seize guns without a warrant, or do you think they'll be stopped by the courts?
I do think they'll be stopped by the Supreme Court. I mean, I can't imagine that the court would let this stand. I mean, obviously, you cannot start seizing people's property without a warrant because then you just don't have the rule of law anymore. Now, understand, when I say this, I'm talking about as things stand right now, as the Supreme Court is constituted right now. I'm not talking about the future because if the left has a chance to put enough of its fellow travelers on the judiciary, then it's just going to get all the rulings it wants.
Right,
that
if they pack the courts. Yeah, but you know what?
Exactly.
Now we can actually transition pretty well into cancel culture because when we're talking about taking people's guns without a warrant or even with a warrant, what the left does is they get somebody to accuse you of being dangerous in some way, shape, or form. Basically, they accuse you away your rights, your guns get seized, and now you have to go begging to a government to get your own property back so you can protect yourself. What I'm getting to is this. In America today with the left, they feel that they can simply accuse away your rights, and you are guilty until proven innocent. Now, isn't that basically what cancel culture is?
Yeah, well, it is. And what we're seeing, Andy, is the third worlding of America. And I didn't originate that term myself. But yeah, this is something that is indicative or suggestive of third world nations, where you're not governed by the rule of law, but rather the law is used to benefit the allies of the people in power and to hurt the people who are their political opponents. And that's what we're seeing more and more, of course. I mean, you had Roger Stone, who was a Trump confidant, Trump almost a longtime friend, and you had a SWAT team show up at his house because really over nothing, over a charge that was a really, really trivial charge. Meanwhile, you have intelligence agency figures who lied in front of Congress, and I'm talking about Jim Comey, I'm talking about Clapper, people like that. They lied in front of Congress and nothing happens to them. And so we see this all the time now where we have this multi-tiered so-called justice system. Really, it's an injustice system. You know, we see it with the rioters too. This summer we had, or for the last year, 600 violent riots perpetrated by the left, and by and large, no one was arrested, no one was held to account. But then you saw what happened January 6th. That paled in comparison, and all of a sudden, these people are being hung out to dry. I mean, you have that guy who is dressed in furs and horns, and by the way, he's had left-wing passions too, so he's not a quintessential right-winger, but he's still rotting in jail, and he's not the only one. So this is a very, very dangerous thing when you go down this road, but this is what happens when a civilization, Andy, loses its virtue. The people in power, of course, lose their virtue, and then they're not going to be applying a rule of law. You're not going to have a nation of laws. You're going to have a nation of men, because when people operate based on emotion, when they're not rooted to principle, then that's what you get. You get ever-shifting goalposts. You get convenient application of law.
Well, first of all, Sullivan, the horns guy may be a lunatic, but he is pro-pillaging. I just want you to know. So I guess that... I'm just kidding. You know, well, here's the thing about cancel culture, Selwyn. It's always in one direction. It's always the only standard they have is a double standard. They never, they'll protect their own to the nth degree, and they will cancel you out for anything they can. Am I right?
No, absolutely. And that's why what we have to understand is, what is cancel culture? Well, really, it's our left's own year zero. And a year zero pertains to what happened under the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia between 1975 and 1979. What they wanted to do was erase all tradition, erase the past, start civilization anew, and recreate it in their own image, the leftists there. The same thing is happening here. This is a year zero by a thousand cuts. And what you said is absolutely correct, because if you look at who's canceled, it's rarely people on the left. It does happen occasionally, like Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Right.
He was banned from Twitter because he questioned vaccine orthodoxy. But by and large, you have this double standard. I mean, look, you have Megyn Kelly, the news commentator, and she's marginally conservative, really. But all she did was question why it's wrong to darken your skin within the context of a Halloween costume, and she lost her, I think it was the Today Show. Meanwhile, you have Governor Ralph Northam of Virginia, who years ago wore a blackface and or a Klan costume. He's still in office. No one forced him to resign. Same thing with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. He wore blackface on numerous occasions. No one questions that. You have the Dr. Seuss books that recently were canceled. They were going to be discontinued, six of them. Meanwhile, what do you have? Well, there's this author, Ibram Kendi. He has this new children's book, Anti-Racist Baby, and I suppose that's all the rage. No one has anything to say about that, and what does that do? Well, as the Federalist's Katie Miller put it, it teaches even babies to hate white people. And how about this for the pièce de résistance? This is one not too many people know about, but a while back, they were talking about how they wanted to remove the name of late actor John Wayne from Orange County's airport because Wayne, in a 1971 Playboy interview, made some comments that were thought to be racially insensitive, right? Okay, meanwhile, while they want to do that, just in 2019, early that year, they renamed an airport in Kentucky after a man who actually said, quote, "A black man should be killed if he's messing with a white woman." They had no trouble, though, naming Louisville's airport after this fellow. Why? Because that fellow happened to be late boxer Muhammad Ali. So these are examples. Yeah, isn't that something? And very few people know that Ali said that. And by the way, I don't dislike Ali. I don't hate Ali.
No.
He had many good qualities, but he had some bad qualities, too.
Well,
and he was no hero, and he certainly... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm loving this. I'm loving this. One of the things that drives me nuts about cancel culture is this, Selwyn. Every single human being is a complex individual with decades of history of making millions of statements. Okay, and whether you pull them out of context or not, you can find some bad ones. Mm-hmm. Unless your name is Jesus Christ, I doubt that you've never made a bad statement. And even he, God, let's face it, he got killed for his. Mm-hmm. So I just don't understand how you can put together a culture that tries to go through everybody's past to the nth degree, pull something out if they're on the opposite political side, and cancel them. By cancel them, shut them down. And oh, by the way, I happen to love Muhammad Ali, and I disagreed with him on a lot of things, but he's the greatest fighter of all time. And the guy was also brilliant in a lot of what he said. It just blows my mind.
Right.
One thing about cancel culture is this. It basically means that if you disagree with me, you have to be a perfect individual or I will find a weakness.
Well, they're always going to find something, even if you were perfect. I mean, as you pointed out, Jesus Christ was perfect, but nonetheless, he was crucified. So the bottom line is that if you deviate from their agenda, the left's agenda at all, they are going to demonize you and try to destroy you. And their goalposts are ever shifting. I mean, look, Leon Trotsky was one of the authors of the Russian Revolution, but how did he end up? Well, Stalin's agents ended up killing him when he was in Mexico, because the truth is that leftism is not really an ideology. That's what people have to understand. Leftism is a process. Liberalism is a process. What is it the process of? Well, liberalism is the process of ever trying to change the status quo. And a better way even of understanding today's leftism, Andy, is to understand that it actually is movement towards moral disorder. Okay? So the goalposts are always changing. So you might be in well with the leftists of your time and place at the very moment, but you never know what the prevailing so-called ideology is going to be in five or 10 years. What you did in the past might not accord with that, and then you're going to be on the outs. And we've seen this over and over and over with leftist movements. When they take power, they always end up destroying their own for that reason. And that's the cautionary tale here. I mean, you can go back to the French Revolution, for instance. That's where the terms left and right, by the way, as they pertain to the political sphere, originated, with the French Revolution. Well, its main author was Maximilien Robespierre, but what happened to him? After he helped author the murder of thousands of people during the Reign of Terror, they died under the guillotine. He ended up under the guillotine himself, didn't he? And there are so, so many others you could mention. I mean, the Kronstadt sailors after the Russian Revolution, they were instrumental in the success of it. They ended up being killed. And the leftists today should understand that. Cancel culture will be coming for them. I mentioned Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's just one. But there are so many of them that could be targeted. And that's what will happen. Because, you see, when these leftists or the liberals, let's say, the rank-and-file ones in the street, dream of this so-called utopia, this regime that they want to see come to fruition, they're thinking, oh, well, when we have this socialist regime, or however they frame it, well, then we're going to be in the end. We're going to have power. And our enemies, why, they're going to get theirs. These conservatives, they're really going to take it on the chin. What they don't understand is that in that kind of regime, only very few people have power. There's a very small, tight circle of power. And if you're not within that, you're just a peasant. And if you step out of line, you get squashed like a grape. And that's always what happens to these people because, you see, when they see the reality of the kind of regime that they're trying to visit upon us, then they don't like it too much. And they start to rebel. And, of course, the kind of regime that we're talking about doesn't tolerate that kind of behavior.
Well, yeah, I mean, and let's face it, whoever's in charge in cancel culture is always looking for another target. And when they start running out of targets on the right,
you become it.
They're looking at you. Am I right?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, again, it's just a matter of very few people are going to have power under the kind of regime we're talking about. And the kind of lifestyle they create because they destroy wealth. Basically, you're going to have a few people on the top who are living high on the hog, as in North Korea. Everyone else is going to be suffering privation, you know, and everyone else, you're going to have a lot of left-wingers in that group. And, you know, this actually is in communist doctrine. You know, there are four stages, Andy, of communist subversion. The first one is demoralization, and that's the undermining of the morals of a target nation. We have been enduring that now for many, many decades. You can see what's happened to our morality. The second stage is destabilization, and that is what it sounds like. You destabilize a land to make it ripe for some kind of violent revolution. And we've seen that recently, haven't we? With all these riots, with the disrupting of our culture, with the disrupting of our rule of law. The next stage is crisis of communist subversion. And that's when the revolution occurs, and that doesn't take very long. But the final stage, this is the one I was referencing earlier, is called normalization. Now, that's a euphemism, Andy. And what that refers to is just the cementing of control and the stamping out of all elements that would undermine your control. And the left-wingers we're talking about would be among those elements. They are the people who the left right now is using to destabilize our nation, because these are unhappy people. They're very, very willing to go there into the streets and to break windows and burn properties and crack heads.
But they'll be
canceled
later.
But their nature is not going to their nature is not going to change just because the regime changes. And like I said before, when they see the horrible lifestyle that's going to be visited upon them, they're not going to like it. But no, those little tactics of stamping their feet and throwing tantrums aren't going to work anymore.
Okay, so and we got to head out, and I got to tell you what, people are going to want to hear more of this. They're going to want to understand all the steps. How can they read your stuff? How can they learn more about cancel culture?
Okay, well, virtually all my articles are at my website, selwynduke.com, selwynduke.com. I'm also widely published online. I'm at thenewamerican.com. I've been an American Thinker, WorldNet Daily, The Observer, The Hill, believe it or not, until I was fired for being too politically incorrect.
You got canceled.
Different places. I got canceled. I was born canceled, Andy. That's the whole thing. That's why I'm the perfect guy to have talk about this phenomenon.
Fantastic. Okay, everybody, I want you to go and find Selwyn Duke online and read more of his stuff. Selwyn, thank you so much. We'll have you back, okay?
Thank you, Andy, and God bless.
God bless. Have a great day. Okay, American National Insurance is next. How many years have you not filed an insurance claim? Quite a few, probably. I haven't had one in decades. Well, Paul Leuenberger has a program where every year you don't file a claim, you get money back. And when you do file a claim, Paul makes sure you receive great service. So don't shop online. Talk to a real person, a good person. Call Paul at 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
You've already been through a collision. Now give yourself the gift of a gorgeous vehicle inside and out. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop Auto Body continue to earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others so they can get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition with the parts and service recommended by your manufacturer. Now A Good Shop offers full detailing as an add-on service so your vehicle feels like new. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and ask for a full detailing service, including carpet shampooing for the entire interior or trunk, or upgrade to include a ceramic coating that will keep your paint in shiny new condition. Al and his team want to give every customer the wow factor of a vehicle that feels like new. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
This isn't rage radio. This is real, relatable radio. Back to Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. I am the relatable one, I guess. I'm just hearing that. On the... And with me here is Anil Mathai, the talent, as I call him. And on the line right now, one of my favorite writers, and I mean that, I've been reading her for years, Rachel Alexander. Rachel, how are you today?
I'm doing great. So good to be back on the show again, and thank you for telling me you read me for years. That's pretty cool.
Oh, I have been. I read you on Town Hall. That's where I always read your stuff, is on Town Hall. And I've always loved your articles. And you have one out right now that I just had to hear more about. And that deals with Christian crowdfunding. Today, we're talking about cancel culture in every level. And people wouldn't think that it would come to Christian crowdfunding, but it does.
Yeah, they're coming for us on every platform. You know, people are now looking at things like, you know, hosting servers and where you register your domain. Everyone's got to be scared online at this point. And what's sad about this story is this site started out in 2015 as just a Christian site to do things like raise money for missionary trips and medical supplies. I mean, pretty non-controversial stuff. But because, you know, other conservatives and Christians have been attracted to their site, especially after they get kicked off of GoFundMe, this little site, GiveSendGo, is now being attacked viciously and trying to be knocked out of business.
So what you're saying is GiveSendGo is a hate site. And they preach hate, and they sell hate, and they raise money for hate because they hate. Is that basically it?
Yeah, you are parodying the MSM, and literally the day before my article came out, it was like a Christian platform for hate is what the Nation called it.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. By the way, GoFundMe is very liberal. Am I right? I mean, they actually do ban certain kinds of fundraising.
Oh, they are way out there. I mean, they are banning things that you and me would just think is completely innocuous. I like worry whenever any conservative friend of mine, no matter what they're doing, tries to set up a fundraiser there, because it's just so arbitrary. You have no idea if you're going to be knocked off or not.
Okay, Rachel, get people into this a little bit. What actually happened with GiveSendGo?
Well, they agreed to allow Kyle Rittenhouse, you know, that young man who
defended himself.
Right. And so, you know, killed Portland Antifa because it made such national news. The left went crazy when he started a fundraiser on GiveSendGo's site. And the reason he did is because he got kicked off of GoFundMe. So merely that one fundraiser out of tons and tons, because they're getting to be a pretty big site now. I mean, they must have thousands of fundraisers. That one thing, which they, you know, they have no opinion about him doing it or not. The left went after them bad.
You see, Rachel, what blows my mind is this. I grew up as a hardcore Marxist leftist. I don't know if you know that. And back in the 60s and 70s, we on the left always begged to have a voice, have a voice. Now, the left always wants to shut down the other voice. They want to silence your voice. They don't even... It's not about them having a voice. It's about you not having one. And to do that with funding is just sick.
You know, you should click on my name on Town Hall on that article and go back about 8 articles of mine. And I wrote one exactly on what you said, how the 1960s liberals, hippies, have turned into, you know, this government control, you know, like the lockdowns, the opposite of the, you know, liberals in the 1960s.
Well, it's just sick. I mean, it's absolutely sick. What can we do about this kind of situation right now? Because, I mean, everybody just thinks about GoFundMe. Is it as simple as going to, what's it called again?
GiveSendGo.
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 Okay. Is it as simple as going to GiveSendGo and raising money on them exclusively? I mean, it's getting to a point where if conservatives don't start taking their money, voting with their feet, with their wallet, and taking it to conservative outlets, they're just going to get shut down everywhere.
You nailed it. We have to start sending our business that way, and we have to start doing what you and me are doing right now, which is, you know, you are using the radio show. I am using my writing to expose this and get other people to do what we're doing and to support sites like this. And it goes even beyond that. You know, we have to start looking at all platforms and changing our behavior on all platforms and setting up backups. You know, GiveSendGo has got hosting servers waiting in the wings, and because they received something, what was it, 700 complaints in January alone to their hosting server. So eventually they might even cave in. You never know, you know?
Yeah, Rachel, this is Anil. I'm with Andy here. Just a quick question, though. Just, you know, they've always said a good offense is the best way to win a game here. I mean, how can conservatives and Christians, et cetera, go after these people who are canceling? Because someone's funding them. You know, I think they're just puppets and there's a puppet master. I mean, is there any way to be aggressive with them so that they can stop this? Because until that happens, I'm not sure how to, because they basically have gas and they're given the green light to destroy.
I like the way you think, because I think the same way strategically in chess moves, we have to turn it around and put them on the defensive because that's what they've been doing to us for years. Mm-hmm. So in a case like this, where you would start is you would find out who the people are who are protesting, because according to the founders of GiveSendGo, it's just a handful, maybe one person, who will set up like 90 email accounts and bombard their hosting providers with complaints. So we need to figure out who those people are behind it, follow the money, and then expose them and use them as an example of what's going to happen to other people if they continue to do the same thing.
Agree.
Okay, let's take a look at big tech really quick. We just got a couple minutes left here, but, you know, Facebook and, you know, Amazon, all these kinds of things. Here's a big problem, Rachel, is that they have spent so much time putting together their platforms and their business that they're really well run. They provide incredible service. Facebook is so easy to use as a marketplace of ideas. And you go to some of these others and they just don't work as well. They're clunky. What do we do to get those things up and running? I mean, you're a writer. You deal with dispensing your ideas everywhere. You deal with places that, let's face it, do a better job than others. How do we start coming together and supporting platforms that support us?
That is an awesome question. And I do have some advice on that, whether people want to listen to me or not, that is their own choice. But for me, what makes sense is to try to compromise, because I do really benefit from Facebook and Twitter as a reach. I don't want to give that up, you know, if I don't have to, and I kind of need it for my job. You know, my main job is not working in conservative politics. It's just not. And so what I try to do is do a lot on Facebook and Twitter, but I don't neglect the other platforms. I try to have a pretty good presence on Gab and Parler. I'm going to try to ramp it up on Telegram. So I just tell everybody, do as much as you possibly can for you.
You know, Rachel, that is something that John and I talk a lot about here. We are not into hard boycotts. We are into soft boycotts. What I mean by this is this. Some conservatives want to cut off their entire life from the modern world, basically recede into a digital cave. And I am more of the belief that, okay, look, interact with the modern world. Obviously, it's not like you never order anything on Amazon. It's fine, okay? It's not like you never go into, you know, a Starbucks. But when possible, use other options. Is that
exactly
fair?
Exactly. That is music to my ears. That is completely what I recommend. And, you know, while I respect people who are stricter than that, you know, for me, it comes down to if we're living in like Nazi era Germany, that's where when you take the drastic radical actions. But this is not Nazi era Germany. You know, I don't think we have to, you know, take these extreme solutions that could really drastically hurt your life, make your standard of living miserable. And, you know, I couldn't make a living as a writer. I mean, at least not politically, if I were to just cut myself off from all of social media.
Yeah, Rachel, you and Andy are spot on. I mean, the thing is, you're still trying to promote and sell ideas to people who are of different viewpoints. And that's the end goal here also, is to get people to understand there's other viewpoints here that are, you know, conservative and more appropriate, or what I call right. So I think, by cutting yourself or removing yourself from that type of the public sphere is just not even going to be fruitful in the long term.
I love what you say. I like you guys today. I really do. I agree with what you said. One of my longtime closest friends from one of my little girl who's actually flying out here for my birthday in a couple of weeks, she was a moderate to liberal her whole life. And I like to think that in the last couple of years, I've influenced her. And she's now a right-wing conservative and supports Trump.
Awesome. Awesome.
You see, now you just went on the air and you admitted that you influenced a liberal. Now you're going to get hunted down by the U.S. government. Don't you understand?
No, keep going, Rachel.
You're
keep going.
Get canceled.
Awesome.
Oh my gosh, Rachel, you are now a criminal. You're on the run.
They have all. They have already come after me twice and destroyed me pretty bad twice. I mean, not the government pro se, but the first time they came after me, it was the state bar. You might as well, you know, it's practically the government. So I'm used to it. Bring it on. You just make me go move in with my parents again? Fine.
You just need to hide and change your name. What do you think of Spike? Okay, I'm just saying, maybe you won't be found that easily. Okay, everybody, her name is not Spike. She is Rachel Alexander, a wonderful writer. I enjoy her stuff. Rachel, how can people get to see more of your stuff? Where should they go?
Well, I used to say go to Twitter, but you can. But honestly, go to Town Hall. It's reputable. And go to my personal page, intellectualconservative.com.
Fantastic. Rachel, thank you so much, and we will have you back, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. Take care. Okay, folks, Flesh and Beck is up next. Every legal issue is an obstacle course. It is. It really is. So many hoops to jump through, but Kevin Flesh, F-L-E-S-C-H, he and his people hold your hand. They walk you through each step, and they get you the best result. Trial tested, trial ready, Flesh and Beck at 303-806-8886 or fleshlawfirm.com.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
And welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. Anil Mathai has left the building. The talent is gone. There is no talent left. But we do have Jersey Joe on the line. Joe, how you doing?
Well, you've just insulted me saying that I'm a no-talent guy.
No, I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about there. I'm talking about here in the studio. There's just me.
All right, well, hey, a couple of light things to start. Now, you studied. Were you going to go into religious teaching at one point?
I was. I have a degree in the ministry.
Ministry. So you were on your way. When you were going to school, used to be seven deadly sins, right?
Yes.
There's only six now.
Oh, what did we get rid of?
We got rid of envy. Envy has been renamed social justice. So anything that you used to be envious of is now a target for social. So if somebody has more money than you, it's no longer that you're envious. It's that social justice that person has to give up their money and share it with you.
Joe, so I got to be honest. Before you move, I know you're going to run with this, and I want you to, but you are so right. The church today, so much of the church teaches so much social justice, I don't know how they can preach against envy.
And that's all that is. Social justice is just renamed. It's just envy renamed. Oh, he has more money. You know, Jeff Bezos, how dare he have that money? He needs to share it with us. You know, it's just, you know, whether it be Bill Gates or Elon Musk, those rich people need to share. They need to pay their fair share. Why are we, you know, so it's just envy renamed as social justice.
It is. I mean, I would have no problem when they're talking about let's put it this way, dishonest gain, right? If somebody stole their money, if they beat their workers or whatever, if they got their money through dishonest means, I get that, okay? But let's face it, that's not what social justice is all about. It's about leveling. It's about, yes, this person has what I want to have. All it is covetousness. It's coveting.
How dare that CEO make $1 million a year and I only make $12 an hour? You know, that's envy. That's all it is. And, you know, how dare he make more money than I make? So that's just my social commentary on envy has now been reclassified. It's no longer one of the seven deadly sins.
Well, you know, I think it's great that we've whittled it down to six. Now, if we can get it down to four or five, I might be able to hang in there.
Well, it's already, you know, if you look at all the other things that are called out as sins, you know, a man shall not lay down with a man. That's actually, you know, that's not a sin anymore, right?
No. Nothing's a sin anymore.
Nothing's a sin anymore. Move around the country. Say goodbye. You know, we just had, it's going to come up. You know, the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, which has been a fixture, you know, for
coming
up 100 years. That's going to go by the wayside because last week in California, in Fresno, a minor league baseball team had a taco eating contest, you know, and one of the contestants choked to death, and now his family's suing the team because they didn't warn him of the dangers that if you eat too much food too fast, you might choke.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, I kid you not. I think I copied you on it. Yeah, taco eating, you know, family sues baseball team over taco eating contest. Fresno, California, if your listeners want to Google it. It's just so sad.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, well, no. But they can't take away Nathan's hot dog eating contest. That thing is, now, is Joey still win?
You know, I don't know if Joey still, by the way, just, there is a tremendous series. You know, I think we've talked about The Men Who Built America and The Cars That Made America on the History Channel, that series.
Yeah.
The same producers and the same people have now made a series, which is on every Sunday night, The Food That Made America. And every, you know, they started off
ooh,
with...
Ooh, I'd like that.
Oh, and, you know, and this past Sunday was White Castle and Nathan's. You know, how they both got started. By the way, White Castle got started in Wichita, Kansas, and, of course, Nathan's in Coney Island. And it's a great, it's done in that same, you know, they do the flashbacks, they have the actors and the period pieces and the old cars. They started off with the chocolate, Milton Hershey and Hershey, you know, then the Mars, Hershey versus Mars candy, and then, you know, Clarence Birdseye, and then they had Heinz ketchup and Lay's potato chips and versus Fritos, and then they had the Pizza Wars. It was Domino's versus Pizza Hut. It's just a fantastic series, so... The Food That Made America, it's a series, you can watch it.
Okay, but wait a minute, ho, you've watched it. So really quick here, before we go to break, Joe, I want to ask you, what is the most American food? I mean, is it, you can't really say steak. It's not like they haven't had steak around before America came around, right? Even though we made steak the best. We made it Texas-sized.
I'm going to have to say... The hamburger, because the hamburger didn't exist. And by the way, the way the hamburger existed, the guy in Wichita, Kansas, he had a diner, and he was basically making meatball sandwiches for lunch. And the guy says, well, I need it quick. I can't wait. So he flattened one of the meatballs with his spatulas to cook it quick.
Serious?
I'm serious. The hamburger was invented in Wichita, Kansas, by the guy who went on to found White Castle Hamburger. So that was – the hamburger did not exist in this country prior to the guy who founded White Castle.
Have you ever mixed Lipton onion soup mix into the hamburger and then grilled it?
Never grilled it. I've made meatloaf that way, but I've never done it for a hamburger, but it sounds delicious.
It is awesome. You, I'm sorry to bore you guys out there, but really quick, you got to try this. You take the hamburger, you mix it, you knead it together with your hands with the Lipton onion soup mix in there, put it on the grill, and drench it. Well, don't drench it, but put a fair amount of Worcestershire on it while you're making it. Oh, my gosh. It is incredible. Now, they puff up a lot, really thick, but they are absolutely delicious. Okay, Joe, can I hold you over the break?
Most certainly can.
Okay, we'll be right back. But first, affordable interest mortgage with Kurt Rogers. With rates this low, every day you don't call Kurt Rogers to get refinanced is a day you're wasting money. To start saving real money, call Kurt at 720-895-0500 or go to AIMortgage.net.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Regardless of your starting point, Franktown Firearms will take your shooting skills a level up. Maybe you've never shot a gun before, and you want to get over your fear of pulling the trigger. Maybe you consider yourself an experienced marksman, but you've never received tactical training, and you want to develop muscle memory to respond in any situation. Head trainer Karen Murray and her team of trainers at Franktown Firearms design their classes to cater to your level of ability and prior knowledge, offering a diversity of firearms platforms from static to moving and shooting to target acquisition engagement. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a range membership now by filling out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee plus your first month free. Range members receive a discount in the shop as well as a discount on all classes. Franktown Firearms. Confidence through practice.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Barb with the United Way of Weld County said, "We are very happy with the copiers we currently have, and your customer service is exceptional. Doug is a great technician and is always prompt in coming out whenever we have a problem with one of our copiers. Thanks again for your wonderful partnership and customer service. I'm glad we are working with you." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
GIA Insurance shops the entire market for the right plan at the best price, so they must be more expensive, right? Wrong! All of that valuable market research comes as a free benefit to you from Paul and his team at GIA. Get more without paying more.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. On the line, we got Jersey Joe. Joe, how you doing?
Good. Hey, I'm gonna go for the most creative segue ever heard on radio here.
Do it!
I'm gonna go from the food, from the foods that made America, to the Georgia voting laws. Ready for this?
Oh,
so
good.
So one of the episodes on the food that made America were the Cola Wars. It was Pepsi versus Coke. And so what does Coke come out and do? They're based in Atlanta, Georgia. So they come out a very strong statement opposing the new Georgia voting laws. But then what does Coke do yesterday? They announced their annual shareholder meeting, and they put up a notice that in order to be admitted to the shareholder meeting, you will have to show a driver's license, passport, or other form of photo ID.
Those racists! Did they do this to hold out all the people of color from this meeting?
Apparently, since people of color, according to, you know, apparently don't know how to obtain a photo ID, by the way, Candace Owen, you know, the black commentator, she said if somebody tells you black people don't know how to get a photo ID, they're the racist.
You so, got that right. She's got that right. By the way, I love her.
Yeah.
You see, you know, Joe, last I checked, people of color are exactly as smart as white people. We're all the same. Did I miss something?
Correct. No, you didn't. And there's a video, I think it's a preview or a Turning Point video, where they stop a bunch of people in Harlem. Do you have a photo ID? If you didn't have one, do you know where to get one? Do you know where the DMV office is? And they will see
they
it.
All knew.
Right around the corner. Yeah, it's right around the corner. Are you crazy? Everybody knows where it is.
What an incredibly racist thing. I mean, by the way, everything they do with low expectations, they act like people of color can't get an ID. They have no trouble getting. They act like if you have hard punishments against crime, that's anti-black. It's anti-Hispanic. It's like, hey, I got news for you. Some of the most law-abiding, incredible, moral people I've ever known were people of color. In fact,
absolutely.
One changed my life. So I just don't understand this. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then I also discovered this past weekend that fishing is racist.
Oh, good.
I went out visiting some relatives in Pennsylvania, and I got invited to go, you know, fishing out in Pennsylvania next month. So I went online to look about getting a fishing license, and like most states, they have a resident license, which is a reduced cost, and an out-of-state license, which is a higher cost. And then I looked at the requirements to get an in-state license, and you have to show a picture ID to get an in-state discounted fishing license. And then I looked at Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York State, California. Guess what? They all require a picture ID if you want to get the discounted in-state fishing license. So they're either racist because they require a picture ID to get a fishing license, and if that's not racist, then shouldn't the requirements to vote in those states be at least as tough or at least as stringent as getting a fishing license? It's got to be one or the other. Either they're racist or voting should be at least as tough, at least as stringent as a fishing license.
I would think so, Joe. I would think so. Look, it's all ludicrous. The bottom line is this. They want to call it racist for one reason. They don't want you to require ID so they can cheat. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. They want to cheat. If you require an ID, a good ID, it's harder to cheat.
Yes, I mean, and it's so easy to cheat. I just got a notice from the state. Now, I've been in New Jersey since the 1st of November. I just got a notice from Colorado Unemployment that my unemployment claim is being processed. I haven't filed an unemployment claim in Colorado. Somebody is filing an unemployment claim in my name in Colorado.
That's hilarious. By the way, I'm sorry. I needed the money. And I knew you weren't using it. Is that okay? I mean, you're not offended, are you?
I'm not offended, Andy. It's as long as it's going for a good cause.
Okay.
And last but not least, a corporate, you know, fair share. I don't know if you heard the other day about why raising corporate tax rates will result in lower tax revenues. Did you hear that?
Corporate tax rates, well, it'll definitely result in lower tax revenues. Go ahead.
Well, because more than half of the things you buy in a store are either completely or partially made overseas. Now, people say, well, I bought a Honda, but they make that in Marysville, Ohio. Well, it's assembled in Marysville, Ohio by Honda USA, but the engine's transmission and computer control modules are imported into the U.S. by Honda International, which sells them at it's called transfer pricing. You know, so Honda USA is a wholly owned subsidiary. So when Honda International sends engines, transmissions, and computer modules to the U.S., to Honda USA, they have to charge Honda USA for that stuff. And they can charge whatever the hell they want. They can charge as much or as little. Well, Japan's corporate tax rate is 25%. The U.S. tax rate is 21%. So for the past couple of years when Honda International has been doing that, they lower the cost so they can book all the profit, so they can make the majority of the profit here in the U.S. and pay the lower tax rate, because unlike the U.S., Japan doesn't tax profits made in foreign countries. So Honda says, we're going to lower the tax rate and make the profit in the U.S. and we'll pay taxes to the U.S. If we go to 28 or 32 or 35, Honda USA is going to say, well, you know, we don't want to make any money in the U.S. anymore because they're going to charge a higher tax rate. We'll just increase the transfer price to Honda USA so that they barely break even, cover their own costs. We'll make zero taxable profit in the United States, and we'll book all that profit at the headquarters level in Japan, and we'll pay the lower tax rate to Japan instead of paying the U.S. higher rate.
Right, and that's not just Honda. That's Subaru. That's Toyota. That's, let's face it, that's going to be a lot of people. That's a lot of money.
It's Samsung appliances. It's washing machines.
Yeah.
It's refrigerators. Toyota. It's BMW. You know, it's Mercedes. You buy a washing machine. You know, I mean, Samsung and LG are the two big. They're Korean. It's Hyundai. So all those foreign countries, which have, over the past couple of years, said, you know, we prefer to pay U.S. taxes because they're lower than our 25 or 23% rate. They're just going to flip it around and show zero net profit in the U.S., and they'll go back to paying their corporate taxes back to their home country. So
maybe that's why Joe Biden is wavering on that aspect.
Yeah. But liberals, they say, well, the hell with 35, make it 50, make it 70, make it 70. By the way, they all think the oil companies are getting rich off. ExxonMobil lost $22 billion with a B last year, $22 billion. So please don't blame the oil companies for gas almost doubling over the past 12 months.
No, and all these people who basically say, oh, man, they're just trying to rake it in right now, they lost their shirts last year.
$22 billion loss, ExxonMobil, and all the other, Amoco, all the rest, weren't quite that big, but every single one of them was in the red last year. The oil companies are not making money on the gas you're buying at the pump. Now, I'll tell you who is making money. State of California, well, first of all, federal gas tax, 18 cents a gallon. California, 50 cents a gallon on gas. So you've now got the federal government is making more money. The federal and state governments are making more money on a gallon of gas than any oil company has ever made in the history of this country.
Right. But oil companies are evil.
Oil companies are evil. And by the way, if California is successful in doing away with fossil fuel-powered cars, what are they going to do when all that 50 cents a gallon tax money evaporates? Because you don't have a way to tax an electric car.
No, they're going to have to try and find it somewhere else. And they can't.
And they can't.
No.
Exactly. They're in a death spiral. I don't think they know it, but they've set themselves out on a death spiral. And I don't see any way out of it.
You know, with California, with their electric grid, they have brownouts. Pretty soon they're going to have basically financial brownouts. Because they're running out of electricity, they're running out of cash. Am I right?
Both at the same time.
Yeah. All right, Joe. Sure. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time, all right?
All right, Randy. Take care. Bye-bye.
You bet. Take care. Okay, folks, that'll do it for today. National Crawford Roundtable is up next. Tomorrow, I'm joined by Rachel Keene, Conservative Mama. Until then, drive safe, God bless, and thanks for joining us at Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.